The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Well, let's welcome in another hot, blazing, sunny day in August. I'm recording this on the 1st of August, and it is not a cool day. Anyway, so let's go and start off with something that's kind of cool, since we need something cool. How about best pals? Can you talk about your pet till the cows come home? You can submit your story to Reader's Digest, rd.com/petpals. Henrietta the Heifer. We don't know why Henrietta was abandoned by her mother, but when we found the small calf alone and starving in the pasture last spring, we knew she was our next bottle feeding project. We've had orphan calves before, but never one of Henrietta's character. She much prefers plopping down on the patio for evening conversation with us to roaming with the herd. It was clear that her destiny was pet rather than livestock. She peers in the back door and the windows, wondering what we're doing inside the house, and follows us to the pasture. She loves to headbutt and play with the other cows, but she's right on our tail when she realizes we're heading home. She's just over a year old now and may want to rejoin the herd when she's older, but she can remain a pet as long as she wants. Our business is selling cows, but Henrietta is our cow emeritus, and she will have a life tenure on the ranch with us for as long as she lives. And that's a picture from Alice, Texas. Shows a young lady with a cast on her arm, and the heifer is leaning across her lap, and she's petting her. Henrietta cuddles with Lisa Riddick's daughter, Leloise. Odd name. Anyway, cute cow. How about a couple light jokes to start the morning off, too? Life in these United States. I took my 7-year-old grandson for his yearly flu shot. As the nurse prepared the syringe, she asked, "Did you have a reaction to the shot last year?" "Yes," my grandson answered somberly. The nurse stopped in her tracks. "What was your reaction?" "I screamed." The day after Independence Day, I was on the golf course behind some elderly men waiting to tee off. The starter, making small talk, asked one of the men, "So how's your fourth been?" The man shook his head and said, "He's dead, so he's not playing today." On his first night at Christian summer camp, my son, who was 10 at the time, called us begging to come home. "What's wrong?" I asked. "They're trying to turn me into a Christian," he said, "when I'm a Methodist." Kitchen Confidential. Yen. Me to anyone else. It's in that cabinet. Me to my husband. It's in the upper cabinet next to the fridge on the left at eye level. It's bright green. It's right there. It's right there. And yang. My wife and I play this cute game where she puts away the ingredients I'm about to use without telling me. A life well lived. Let's say yes. What started as a way to get my son to try new foods opened up a world of adventure for my family. And right now there's a picture of a log cabin with a big chair out in front and four family members sitting in it, a father with a cowboy hat, a mom sitting down, a young son and a young daughter, both of them outside the thing that says, "Stage Stop." Last year, as my then 19-year-old son Leopold and I were prepping for Mom and Skun's ski trip to Keystone, Colorado, I came up with a rule. We would say yes to everything. You see, Leopold is a picky eater. He subsists on chicken nuggets and yogurt, and can be hesitant to try new things. According to him, it's because he has phobias, including heights, spiders, and the dark, though I suspect he just has normal kid-sized jitters. I was hoping to find a way to encourage him without resorting to worn-out adages like, "If you don't try it, you'll never know if you like it." So I borrowed the ideas of a yes day, something our family has done a handful of times since watching a movie of the same name. Before the trip, Leopold and I agreed that we would say yes to everything, including food and experiences, especially new ones. We started saying yes before we even boarded our flight. When we stopped at a breakfast buffet at the airport, for me, that meant I sampled a vegan meatball. While Leopold tried a mouse bite of hash browns, he said, "Look funny." Neither of us went back for seconds, but we each rated our respective new foods as not bad. The next day, after we got settled in our hotel, I looked up Leopold to meet his snowboarding instructor. He had taken a few lessons back home in Connecticut, but had never had the opportunity to snowboard on a mountain of this size. My hope was that Leopold would make the most of this opportunity. While he was in snowboarding school, I skied by myself. On the first day, I played it safe and stuck to the long and windy easy green run. On the second day, I thought of Leopold, who the day before had kept to our bargain and faced his fear of heights to learn how to ride a chairlift. In the spirit of camaraderie, I challenged myself to ski an intermediate blue run. There was a part that was steeper than I would have liked, but I did my slow, diligent S-turns, and I made it down in one piece. Better than in one piece. I was proud of myself for trying something new. Later that afternoon, when Leopold and I were reunited back at the lodge, he asked if we could go to the outdoor hot tub. Mind you, it was 20-degree day, and the only thing I hate more than being cold is being cold and wet. When I started to demur, Leopold invoked our pact. Yes, it was cold, and yes, I was wet, but it was also invigorating to feel the cold air on my skin, and the warm water of the hot tub felt that much better once we got in. Getting out was a different story, but the experience was a delight as Leopold and I braved it together. We had so much fun saying yes to everything that Leopold and I decided we should get the rest of the family, his dad and sister, on board. During our spring break, trip to St. Augustine, Florida. And there's another picture of the family outside, obviously in the mountains somewhere. Cute kids. We collectively said yes to a moonlit ghost tour of the city's alleged haunted sites, including a century-old jail and gallows. While others in the group got claustrophobic and left creepy jail cell during the telling of ghost stories, Leopold and I stayed until the bitter end. On that same trip, Leopold tried his first spicy tuna roll, and his sister Nola sampled blackened grouper. I went into the freezing ocean because Nola asked me to. I not only survived, I enjoyed it as we had the whole ocean to ourselves. On our summer adventures, we continued tradition of saying yes. For me, this meant going down a scary 90-degree water slide at a water park. Again, the only reason I did it was because my daughter asked me to. You know what? It was pretty fun, although next time I would plug my nose. Leopold braved the ropes course and made it all the way to the top. We went to Yellowstone for our big family vacation, saying yes led us to take a 15-mile bike ride in Jackson Hole, go line dancing at the Country Western Bar, and ride horseback through a national forest. On the last night of our trip at the rodeo in Cody, Wyoming, neither my son nor my daughter hesitated when all the kids in attendance were invited onto the field to take part in the traditional calf chase. Though neither came back with the prize bandana, they were both laughing, sweaty, and excited. I know it's an experience they'll never forget. Therein lies the beauty of saying yes on vacation. It pushes you to bust out of your comfort zone. Though it's not always possible to say yes to everything back home, where work, school, and other obligations can get in the way, we're trying to say it more. Cultivating a sense of adventure helps us live life to the fullest, even if you sometimes wind up cold and wet. The Art of Living. Food, funds, and fact. There's more to s'mores. Gather round the fire and we'll tell you. The gooey goodness at the heart of s'mores goes back to the summer of 92. 1892, that is. That year, roasting marshmallows around a campfire became all the rage in seaside towns, according to reports published in New York World and the Chicago Daily Tribune. Marshmallow roasts are the newest thing, a trend spotter wrote in a dispatch from the New Jersey shore that August. One buys 2 or 3 pounds of marshmallows, invites half a dozen friends to build a small fire at an unfrequented spot on the beach, away from the crowds, unfamiliar with so refined a species of entertainment. The writer noted the fad was an excellent medium for flirtation, appropriately exhibited by nibbling the marshmallows off each other's sticks. And there's a picture here of 3 s'mores stacked one on top of the other, perfectly browned mushrooms, a piece of chocolate, and graham crackers. Looks good enough to eat. Oh, I guess it is. Graham crackers and chocolate bars soon followed. The graham crackers inventor, Presbyterian minister Sylvester Graham, died in 1851, so he never saw his namesake snack become a commercial success. By the turn of the century, bakers were selling their own, sweeter versions, and in 1990, Hershey released its famed milk chocolate bars, becoming a household name. Who was the first to combine all 3 components? The Girl Scouts, experts in both campfires and cookies. Their 1927 tome, Tramping and Trailing with the Girl Scouts, features sing-alongs and survival skills, including an all-important lesson on how to toast two marshmallows over the coals to a crispy, gooey state, and then place them inside a graham cracker and chocolate bar sandwich. The author's quip, "Though it tastes like some more, one is really enough," even gave the treat its name. But in truth, one some more will never be enough, especially if its ongoing popularity is any indication. An oven-baked riff on the s'more, developed by food writer Nia Aronson and viewed 8 million times on TikTok, starts with a requisite recipe, but adds a scoop of chocolate chip cookie dough mounted and baked on top, transformed into a cookie marvel. Meanwhile, Pinterest contains a smorgasbord of s'more boards, with pretty rows of graham crackers, marshmallows, and exotic flavors of chocolate bars, plus peanut butter cups, cookies, berries, peanut butter jam, and hazelnut spread. Chefs and culinary entrepreneurs are making s'more statements too. Manhattan pastry chef Daniel Alvarez created a stunning s'more pavlova with toasted marshmallows, ganache, spekulos ice cream made with crumbled Biscoff cookies, and molten chocolate cake batter. Artisan s'more company S'morology, launched in West Covina, California, ships gourmet kits all over the country. And in Indianapolis, a startup called S'moresicles makes small batches of frozen mores on sticks and delivers them via a teal tricycle they call the S'more Cycle. As variations on the toasted trifecta make their rounds this summer, you may get the feeling, that warm, toasty feeling, that if you're willing to snag the supplies and stoke a fire, you can always count on a classic. Yummy. 13 things. Oh, we're right in the middle of the Olympics. This is perfect timing. Go for gold at the Olympics. Number one, the 2024 Summer Olympic Games kick off on July 26, and they have, in the host city of Paris, though several of the 41 event ventures are located elsewhere in France. The farthest away, the surfing competition, will take place in Tahiti, part of the territory of French Polynesia in the South Pacific Ocean, 9,750 miles away from the host city. That's an Olympic record. Number two, this marks the third time Paris has hosted the Summer Games. The second ever modern Olympics were held here in 1900. Then Paris hosted again in 1924. Paris and London are now tied for hosting the most Olympics. At the next Summer Games in 2028, Los Angeles will hold its third, making a three-way tie. Number three, before the games begin, there's a month-long torch relay, which is already underway as this goes to print. As always, the relay began in Greece, an homage to the home of the ancient Olympics. Greece also has the honor of entering first during the Parade of Nations, while the host nation enters last. In 2004, when Athens hosted, the Greek flag bearer entered first, while the rest of the Greek delegation entered last. The torch was lit in April, reached France in May, and continues to tour the country and its territory overseas. Along the way, about 10,000 torchbearers will carry it through to more than 400 towns. Number four, during this year's opening ceremony, rather than parade through a stadium, athletes are expected to float boats down the River Seine toward the Eiffel Tower. For the first time ever, free access will be offered via invitation. Of course, some shelled out for the best seats and views. The last unsold tickets were just shy of $3,000 apiece. Number five, Airbnb and Vrbo prices in Paris have more than doubled, reports its Business Insider, for an average of $435 per night to $932 during the Olympics. And the cost of the ride on the Paris Metro will almost double during the Games. The New York Times reported that a basic room at an Ibis hotel that normally costs $97 to $215 was going for $431 to $755. Tickets to Olympic events aren't cheap either. The lowest prices as of January for the men's 10-meter platform diving were about $950. But most of the estimated billions of spectators will watch on TV. NBC has the U.S. broadcasting rights, having paid $7.75 billion to air the games from 2021 to 2032 on its network and its Peacock app. No wonder there are so many advertisements. The flagship network is planning at least 9 hours of live coverage daily, plus a primetime show packaging highlights. Tune to Telemundo for Spanish language coverage. Number seven. For the first time since 1960s, these Olympics will feature fewer events than the previous games, which had a whopping 339. The count is still high, though, at 329. Gone are karate, not entertaining enough according to Reuters, and baseball. The Olympic schedule conflicts with Major League Baseball. But there is also one entirely new sport this summer, breaking, or as it's more commonly known, breakdancing. No other dance sport has previously been included at the Olympics. Number 8. Unusual sports that have once been part of the games included solo synchronized swimming. How do you do that? Tandem bicycle, tug of war, hot air ballooning, and swimming obstacle race. And from 1912 to 1948, the Olympics also include artistic competitions. Painters, sculptors, architects, writers, and musicians all vied for medals in their fields. Number 9. 6 athletes have medaled at both the Summer and the Winter Olympics. The most recent was Miami, the native Eduardo Eddie Alvarez, who won a silver medal in speed skating in 2014 and in baseball in 2021. Germany's Christa Ludwig Rothenberger is the only athlete to medal across both seasons in the same year, after winning medals in speed skating and sprint cycling in 1988. That won't be matched as long as the Summer and Winter Games remain staggered, as they have been since 1994. Number 10. Among the stranger traditions of the Games, at least since 1968, is the inclusion of Olympic mascots, anthropomorphic, something or others, that are supposedly symbolic of the host country's culture. This time it's a Phryga, that's Phryge, that's pronounced Phrygia, or Phrygia, a soft red hat worn during the French Revolution. Other odd mascots have included the indefinable Izzy, prompting the question of those who couldn't tell, what's Izzy? From Atlanta in 96, and a one-eyed Teletubby-esque creature called Wendlock from London in 2012. 11. The City of Lights, also called the City of Love, particularly apt nickname, while Paris plays home to the Olympic Village. Four-time Olympic swimmer Ryan Lochte estimated in 2012 that 70 to 75 of Olympic athletes are having sex during the Games. Organizer of the Rio 2006 Games distributed as many condoms, so many condoms that averaged 300 per athlete. Supposedly at this year's game, there's 300,000 condoms. Number 12. Some athletes can earn their living as pros in their sports, but many others pay their bills through unrelated day jobs. Jared Ward, a 2016 U.S. marathon runner, is a statistics professor at Brigham Young University. Three-time Olympic trampoline gymnast Ana Rente of Portugal balanced those dreams with being a doctor. And badminton player Scott Evans of Ireland is also co-owner of the Hushberg, a women's clothing company. Number 13. Prepping Team USA, along with household names such as swimmer Katie Ledecky, gymnast Simone Biles, and basketball player LeBron James, is a name we all know soon. Track sound out Sydney McLaughlin, Levone. The 24-year-old from New Brunswick, New Jersey, keeps breaking and re-breaking her own world record in the 400-meter hurdles and should be favored at a variety of events in Paris. Who knows? Perhaps the Paris Olympics will remember as the Sydney Olympics. Department of Wit. A race well-limped. A reluctant runner's key to keeping high spirits. Low expectations. And there's a cartoon of a very sad-looking guy in a race with a bunch of other people. I'm walking around the house with a severe limp and actively second-guessing every decision I've ever made. That can only mean one thing. I just ran my one race for the year. For the second time in a row, my 13-year-old Betsy accompanied me on the foolish endeavor because the best mistakes are made in tandem. We both went into the 7-mile course with no training, and it showed. Determination and a can-do attitude are no match for gravity and distance. As an extremely sedentary person, it's important for me to occasionally do something semi-athletic to remember that it's much better to not move. I'm greatly envious of those coral reef creatures that sit in one spot their entire life while plankton filters through their mouth holes. I'm out here working for my food, while the ocean basically has free DoorDash 24/7. It was a mistake for Mantide to give up their gills. Betsy and I were accompanied to the race by a group of three extremely in-shape people. You wouldn't think that such individuals would want to associate with me, but we all live in the same Indianapolis suburb. I lift weights because it's a form of exercise that requires you to move the least. I can let it do it while sitting down. These guys bike and run countless miles, often in the same day. One has done dozens of Spartan races, which are grueling obstacle courses that require you to crawl through mud, flip tires, and throw spears. Another is training for a triathlon. He's the worst because in addition to being faster than me on foot, in the water and on wheels, he can also outlift me. I was the leader of our expedition because I told everyone about the race. I also owned a minivan. The race in my hometown of Illinois, and I've been doing it almost every year since I was Betsy's age. I peaked about 15 years ago and been phoning it in with performances at various levels of ineptitude ever since. Why do I keep going if I no longer enjoy it and are getting worse every year? Tradition, mostly. A bad idea is somehow less bad if you do it consistently at regular intervals. Besides, I don't dislike the whole race, just the running part. I like seeing all the running club members I've known since childhood, and I love the free beer afterward. Running is just a minor stumbling block on the way to the good stuff. My athletic friends don't understand any of this. While they're all laid-back and well-adjusted individuals, they're also good at things which skews their perspective of the world. All three had a reasonable chance of winning the race. That wasn't enough a challenge for one of the guys. When I messaged our group chat to let everyone know what time I'd pick them up Saturday morning, he said he didn't need a ride. He was going to ride his bike there. I don't mean a motorcycle, but like an actual bicycle with pedals. The race was 66 miles away by interstate. If you take back roads, it's more like 84. He sat in the dark at 4 a.m. to meet us at 10 a.m. We arrived at almost exactly the same time. After biking for hours, he stretched a bit, then beat me by 9 minutes on a 7-mile run. He's probably not even sore today. Afterward, he tossed the bike in my minivan for the return journey. I should have made him ride it home. Betsy was a trooper. She finished the race for the second year in a row. She's not a huge fan of the running part either, but she likes the adventures of going places with me and hanging out. As for how I ran, I did better than I thought I would, even with my considerable slowdown from last year. My expectations for myself were very low. No one's put less pressure on me than me. I was actually having a strong race through most of the course. Between miles 4 and 5, I felt so good that I wondered why I only do this once a year. Then I hit mile 6, and my body reminded me. The human form is like a convoy of ships. It can only go fast as its slowest part. Usually, the lagging component is my breathing. I simply can't guzzle enough oxygen to get my awkward, unwieldy body to go. This time it was my legs. I pushed until I had a mile left, at which point my quads and hamstrings decided they were done. Still, I can honestly say that I gave everything I had. My slow, plodding finish was actually a victory shuffle. That proves I gave it my all. I don't need a huge trophy to commemorate my heroic performance. My grossly swollen knee is enough of a souvenir. As I slowly made my way to the finish line, I had no idea how the rest of the group placed. I thought it would be funny if my friends came in first, second, and third, and people got impression that our nondescript suburb was somehow a running powerhouse. They actually finished between 4th and 12th. Our fastest guy cut 5 minutes off his run from last year, that there were still three people ahead of him. He didn't get a medal, but he did come away with an even better trophy, a massive, authentic, made-in-Japan German beer stein I picked up from a second-hand store years ago. It's basically our group's most improved award. I took it home last year because it's not hard to get better from rock bottom. When I passed the stein on to its new owner, I was supposed to fill it with beer and put it on one knee. Our top guy doesn't drink beer, which definitely had nothing to do with why he's so fast. So I gave him the beer stein full of diet soda instead. A day later, even as my entire body tells me I'm an idiot, I can't help but feel that the race was a success. Everyone in our group wants to do it next year. My 11-year-old May starts cross-country this fall. I somewhat suspect I could talk her into racing with me at least once. Kids don't actually know you're giving them bad advice until they test it for themselves. Parenthood is all about destroying your children's trust one misguided family tradition at a time. As for me, I'll keep doing this race as long as my legs can support me. I proved I could still roll out of bed and run 7 miles, even if those 7 miles would prevent me from getting out of bed for all the days thereafter. Adding insult to injuriousness, hippopotamosquipophobia is the fear of long words. Hippotomonstrosequipedaliophobia is the fear of long words. It looks like it's about 52 words long. How about a little humor and uniform to finish out the Reader's Digest portion? A colonel I had speak at convention told me the time he was transferred from San Diego to Germany. It was up for his wife to get their 8 rambunctious children to Europe by herself. After an hour's long layover in Baltimore, which he spent chasing and corralling her brood, they finally arrived in Germany exhausted. At customs, the official asked her if she was carrying contraband such as drugs, alcohol, or weapons. The colonel's wife replied, "I assure you, if I had any of those items, I would have used them all by now." During mail call one day, our sergeant bellowed out, "Lee 1, Lee 1. No one by that name came forward. After 2 or 3 more unanswered calls, a GI wondered aloud, "Oh, do you mean Leon?" Who knew? The rock band Foo Fighters gets its name from UFOs discovered during World War II by Allied and Axis pilots. Scientists may have finally identified the previously unidentified objects, plasmas found naturally in the atmosphere. Plasma represents the fourth state of matter distinct from solid, liquid, and gas, England's The Telegraph explained, and is attracted to the electrical charge of aircraft. It wasn't just pilots who spotted the UFOs. In 1965, astronaut Frank Borman aboard Gemini 7 reported a Foo Fighter telling Houston, "Bogey at 10 o'clock high." Consumer Reports, Building a Better World Together. Staying safe from PFAS. Years of CR advocacy and reporting have culminated in a milestone victory. In April, the Environmental Protection Agency restricted levels of PFAS, pure and polyfluoroalkyl substances, in drinking water, setting the first nationwide enforceable limits on these forever chemicals. The proposal requires municipal water systems to monitor for 5 individual PFAS chemicals, tell the public what they find, and reduce levels that exceed new limits. The EPA says the rule will reduce exposure to about 100 million people and prevent thousands of deaths and tens of thousands of illnesses. PFASs have been used for decades in cookware, outdoor gear, food wrapping, and more because of their non-stick and stain-resistant properties. They're known as forever chemicals because they persist so long in the environment and in human bodies. One study estimated that 90% of American adults have PFASs in their blood. Mounting scientific evidence links the chemicals to health risk, including cancer and lowered immune responses, but no federal rules limited PFASs in drinking water until now. CR investigations, going back to 2020, found PFAS in a number of consumer products, including food packaging, bottled water, and nonstick cookware. And in 2021, our joint investigation with the Guardian U.S. News Organization found alarming levels in U.S. tap water. We also collected 60,000-plus petition signatures asking the EPA to take action. Utilities have 5 years to comply with the EPA's new standards. Meanwhile, go to cr.org/PFAS water guide to learn how to know if PFAS chemicals are in your water, and if so, how to protect your family. 100 million are the estimated number of Americans whose exposure to PFASs will be reduced by EPA's new drinking water rule. An action update. CR has been a strong advocate for the auto safety feature known as automatic emergency braking, or AEB. To incentivize automakers, we've been awarding points in our ratings to vehicles that offer this life-saving feature standard with pedestrian detection. And over the past year, we've urged the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to require it on all new cars and light trucks and gather 24,000-plus consumer signatures in support. In April, NHTSA revealed its rule. New passenger vehicles must have AEB with pedestrian detection by September 2029. Fixing credit reports. What's at stake? The information in consumer credit reports can affect one's ability to get a mortgage, a loan, or an insurance policy they can afford, to rent an apartment, and even to get a job. Yet credit reports from the 3 major credit bureaus are notoriously rife with errors, many big enough to affect the consumer's creditworthiness, and such errors can be extremely hard to correct. What is CR doing about it? CR has been highlighting this issue for years, and also tracking efforts by the credit bureaus and their regulators to address it. But a new CR study suggests that much more progress is needed. With the personal finance nonprofit Work Money, we recruited more than 4,300 volunteers to check their credit reports and tell us what they found. An alarming number, 25%, say they're unable to access the reports at all, some because they couldn't get past the security questions, while others were thwarted by error messages. Worse, more than a quarter of those who could check the reports found errors that were serious enough to potentially affect their credit worthiness. These included accounts and debt collections they didn't recognize, and on-time payments that were wrongly reported as late or missed. Mistakes like these can lower a consumer's credit score by hundreds of points. What can you do? To learn more and get advice on how to protect your credit report record, read about our report at cr.org/creditcheckup and help us fix the problem by signing our petition urging the three credit bureaus to do more to ensure that credit reports are accurate at cr.org/crediterrors. Your feedback. Produce without pesticides. Reported on the harmful level of chemicals in some fruits and vegetables offered ways to reduce your exposure. Readers share their thoughts and questions. To add yours, head to CR Pesticide IN Produce. Do the fruits and vegetables not mentioned in the article have level of pesticides that are low enough not to raise concerns? Kale and mustard greens have high levels of pesticides, for example. But what about other greens like collard greens? What about cauliflower? What about frozen wild blueberries? Michael Vermilion, Lansdowne, Virginia. Editor's note. The produce not featured in our ratings aren't necessarily pesticide-free, unfortunately. We examined 7 years' worth of data from the Department of Agriculture's Pesticide Data Program, which did include cauliflower and collard greens. Domestic conventional collard greens are of moderate risk in our analysis, which means you can safely eat up to 3 servings per day. Non-organic domestic cauliflower poses a very low risk. As for frozen wild blueberries, the data we have from USDA isn't specific enough to tell us whether they differ from cultivated ones when it comes to their pesticide risk. But we know that frozen conventional blueberries, on the whole, pose a very high pesticide risk. So it's safer to choose organic blueberries whenever possible. Can pesticides go through the skin and enter the body of fruit? If we remove the skin from apples or melons, for example, are they safe? Thank you very much for the great article, Bill Grant, Groton, Connecticut. Editor's note, peeling and produce that has an edible skin like apples and potatoes probably does remove some of the pesticides sprayed on the food. But pesticides can be absorbed into the body of the fruit or vegetable through the skin. Also, some pesticides are applied to the soil and absorbed by the whole plant. So you can't count on peeling the skin to eliminate pesticide-related risk. I found this article to be an eye-opener. I would like to know if one's body can get rid of pesticides over the years, or do they accumulate and be part of the cell structure? Richard Young, Dundalk, Maryland. Editor's note, our bodies do eliminate a number of pesticides quickly, but you can be exposed again each time you consume food. That risk is particularly acute during sensitive stages of development, such as in pregnancy and when children are young. And while most of a particular pesticide may be broken down and eliminated by the body, a small amount can linger. For example, glyphosate, found in Roundup and some other weed control products, is said to be excreted by the body, but a tiny percentage of the chemical may remain. Privacy precautions. In protecting your privacy in the May-June issue, CR urges legislation to limit the sharing of personal digital data by shining a light on the surveillance economy. That's why I carefully read your home security toolkit in the same issue. I'm deeply suspicious of video audio that could be used by criminals or law enforcement. The article offers no advice about how to avoid this type of data sharing. Google owns Nest, Amazon owns Blink and Ring. Both of those companies make fortune through data mining. Why do they not receive the lowest grade for data security and data privacy? George Anderson, San Diego. Editor's note. We review each company's privacy policies and terms of service against a digital standard and use those evaluations as part of the testing that determines the overall privacy and security score. In our past tests, the companies you mentioned have generally received high scores for data security. But excuse me, but low scores for data privacy because they collect your data and use it for their own purposes. To keep your videos private, your best bet is to use a camera with either end-to-end encryption or local video storage, where the video is stored on a micro SD card or a USB drive, not on the manufacturer's servers. CR recommends a number of video doorbells with local video storage, including the TP-Link Casa Smart Doorbell KD110 for $40 and the Aquera G4 SD Kitty for $120. Ring doorbells offer end-to-end encryption, as do models that use Apple's HomeKit Secure Video, but those work only with Apple devices. Regarding the laundry and dish detergent ratings in CR's Ultimate Guide to Home Cleanup, I was puzzled that there was no mention of the plastic coating on most of the detergent packs, especially given your recent focus on PFAS and other harmful plastics that are increasing in our water supplies. Have you studied those packs? Lisa Rogers, Boise, Idaho. Editor's note, although CR hasn't conducted our own studies on the coatings of detergent packs, we have researched and reported on them. For these, the concern is not PFAS, but polyvinyl alcohol, or PVA, which is designed to dissolve once it comes in contact with water, as it does during the washing machine and dishwasher cycles. PVA is even sometimes used as a coating for pills. The Environmental Protection Agency and the European Union agree that PFA isn't a health safety concern. In fact, PFA is on the EPA's Safer Chemical Ingredients list. That said, while PVA is a biodegradable, that process depends on certain enzymes and microorganisms being present, and the conditions at wastewater treatment plants can vary. For now, liquid or powdered detergents or tablets that aren't coated with PFA may be the best choice for the environment. Why doesn't CR test more natural products? There were no natural options in the laundry and dish detergent section. Joe Killian Lloyd, Waukesha, Wisconsin. Editor's note, you'll be happy that CR is expanding the testing of less toxic cleaning products and will continue to do so. In our latest laundry detergent test, for example, we included several formulas marked as free and gentle, meaning they're without dyes, perfumes, phosphates, phthalates, 1-4 doxane, and other potentially harmful substances. Last summer, we analyzed 5 popular detergents for the presence of heavy metals and other chemicals. The good news, none of them had concerning levels of those substances. And 2, all stain lifters, free, clear, and 7th-generation flea and clear liquid sensitive skin have none of those chemicals at all. The not-so-good news, in our lab tests, natural and non-toxic cleaning formulas don't queel as well as conventional products. So they often land toward the bottom of our performance-based ratings. That's why they weren't included in the rating section of CR's Ultimate Guide to Home Cleanup. Digital or All Access members can find our complete detergent ratings at CR.org. What's the right water temperature? Regarding the advice in Lower Your Energy Bills Right Now, in the May-June issue, isn't recommended to set water heaters at temperature higher than 120 degrees Fahrenheit to ensure that dishes are sanitized when washed in the dishwasher and sink. Mark Bloomberg, West New York, New Jersey. Editor's note, safety experts advise against water heating settings above 120 degrees. 6 seconds of exposure to 140 degrees Fahrenheit water or 30 seconds to 103 degrees water will cause a burn, according to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Washer dishes in warm, soapy water will get them clean. Today's washers have heat boosters that raise the temperature, wash temperature to 140 degrees and higher to sanitize the dishes. E-bike benefits. I want to put in a plug for your May-June article, Getting Around Town More Easily. I am a retiree with health issues and was talked into a pedal-assist e-bike to get more fit. It has been amazingly fun and efficient. I hardly ever use my car. I can go mow places because the battery extends my range, and with saddlebags, I can even get in some shopping. Best of all, I feel better and have lost 40 pounds. Carla Smith, Tampa, Florida. What we're testing in our labs. Good season for this one. Portable grills. 27 models. We test for how quickly a model preheats, how evenly it cooks food, how wide the temperature range is, and more. The scores range from a medium 62 with a range of 41 to 74. Best performance requires a 20-pound fuel tank. Is the Broil King Porter Chef 320 at $380, scored a 74. Speedy preheating is the Coleman Road Trip 285 for $300, scored a 71. And a large cooking service is the Weber Travel 901-0001 for $400, scored a 70. InnerSpring mattresses. We tested 172 models. We test for a model support for large, tall, average, and petite side sleepers and back sleepers, and durability, stability, firmness, and more. The median score was 70, and the range was 45 to 84. Firm and top pick overall was the Avocado Green at $1,800, scored at 84. Softer with cool comfort was the Denver Mesh Doctor's Choice Plush at $800. Medium firm and coolest was the Parachute Eco at $2,400, scored at 81. How can I tell if a mattress will keep me cool at night? In addition to testing mattresses for support, durability, and stability, see our check to see which mattresses trap less heat than others. And what we found is that InnerSpring or hybrid mattresses, which combine foam levers over steel coils, are better at keeping sleepers cool. The coils inside provide more space for air to flow, which may lead to less body heat getting trapped. Conversely, we found that many all-foam models, including some that have claims for containing a cooling gel, aren't that great for hot sleepers. A large percentage of foam mattresses retain warmth, says Chris Reagan, who oversees CR's mattress testing. Portable speakers. We tested 87 wireless Bluetooth models. We test for sound quality, ease of use, including setup and controls, and versatility. We test for features like pairing with another speaker. The median score is 50. The range is 21 to 64. Easy to use is a Glipsitch Gig XXL, $170, scored a 64. Altman hires Hyperboom for $400 for top quality sound, also scored a 64. And nice prize and rolls on wheels like a suitcase is Oon Large Party Speaker Gen 2, $120. It scored a 63. Carpet cleaners. We tested 21 models. We test for how well a model returns carpet stains, how noisy it is during use, and more. The median score was 63. The range was 31 to 78. Superior cleaning power is the Bissell ProHeat 2X Revolution Pet Pro Plus 3588F for $260, scored a 78. The runner-up was the Shark Carpet Expert EX201 at $250, scored a 74. And the bargain buy is the Hoover Power Dash Pet Advance FH55000, $140, it scored a 72. Freezers. We tested 24 upright models. We test for temperature uniformity, thermostat control, and energy efficiency. We also measure a freezer's usable capacity in cubic feet. About the scores, the median was 71, the range was 41 to 84. The best large capacity is the GRFUF21, 17.5 cubic feet at $950, scored at 84. The best mid-sized model was the Frigidaire FFU116 at 13.5 cubic feet for $650, it scored at 80. And the best for small spaces and very energy efficient was the GEFUF14 at 11.4 cubic feet and $750, scored a 79. That's interesting. The smaller one is more expensive than the 13.5. Battery-powered lawnmowers. We tested 73 models. We test for how much grass a mower could cut on a single charge, how long it takes to recharge, how it's easy to push, pull, and turn the mower, and more. About the scores. The median was 75, the range was 44 to 89. Self-propelled, the Greenworks MO80L421 at $750, scored at 88. Excellent riding mowers, the Ego ZT40L, $5,000, scored at 86. That's a nice-looking mower. First-rate push mower is the Ryobi RY401, $750, scored at 83. Next month, they're going to do chainsaws, so get your trees ready. Is it possible to get a good deal on a used EV? Absolutely. While used electric vehicles, EVs, were once hard to find in pricing, their cost has plunged by 36% in the past 2 years, according to Group Gordon, a strategic communications firm. This has been driven at least in part by price reductions on new EVs and expanded federal tax incentives. Now, while shopping for a good deal, there are a few pitfalls you want to avoid. Your first concern should be the car's battery. Most EV manufacturers offer an 8-year, 100,000-mile warranty on an auto's propulsion battery and drivetrain. Certified pre-owned EVs go through an EV-specific inspection in which the battery is tested before the car is sold. But in other types of sales, you need to have a mechanic check the battery. The inspection may cost you $200 or more and take at least an hour, says Michael Crossan, the CR mechanic. During inspection, ask if a charging limit was set on the battery. If there is one, that's good news. That prevents the battery from charging to 100%, which is better for its long-term health. Also, check the tires of any vehicle you're interested in. EVs are much heavier than comparable gas cars, so their tires tend to wear out faster. That may mean factoring the price of replacement tires into your overall purchase cost. As with any car, CR recommends searching for any open recalls before you buy. Among used EVs, the 2019 Cura Niro EV and the 2021 Tesla Model Y stand out as good choices with proven reliability, our experts say. Models with below-average reliability in our ratings should be approached with caution. To browse through all of our reliability ratings on specific models, go to cr.org/reliability. My clothes are still damp after a full cycle to my dryer. Is it time to replace it? It depends on your dryer's age. If it's less than 10 years old, the average life expectancy of many dryers, the fix might be to give it a good cleaning. Your dryer sensor, which helps the appliance determine which end an automatic drying cycle, collect lint and dust over time, which is stopping from working properly. Dryer seats can cause even faster buildup. The sensors are usually just inside the dryer underneath the door. To clean them, wipe them with a cotton ball dipped in rubbing alcohol. Reread this every 2 months. Be sure to empty the lint screen after every load, because accumulated lint will hamper airflow, which will prolong drying time, and vacuum out the vent duct 4 times a year. If your dryer is more than 10 years old and cleaning the sensors and lint screen doesn't fix the problem, it may be time to call a repair professional or get a replacement dryer. To help you decide whether it's better to repair or replace your current model, use our calculation tool at cr.org/broken dryer. Will a bug zapper protect me from mosquitoes? Bug zapping devices, which use ultraviolet light to attract flying insects and give them a deadly jolt, haven't been found to protect people from mosquitoes. When you hear a zapper go all night, it's killing moths and beetles, beneficial insects, and very few, if any, mosquitoes, says Daniel Makowski, technical advisor for the Mosquito Control Association. You'll have more success with traps that target mosquitoes, like Autocycle Gravid OV Trap, AGO Trap, which you place in cool, shaded areas around your yard. You need about 2 traps per half an acre. These bucket-shaped traps lure the mosquitoes that breed in still water. Catchmaster Overcatch AGO Traps, $70 for a pair, have a scented solution inside to attract mosquitoes, but a screen prevents the female from laying their eggs in it properly. Then the trapped mosquitoes die. In addition to traps, take a weekly walk around your yard to find and clear out spots where water collects, and protect yourself with a good insect repellent like our top-rated Ben Tickin Insect Repellent Wipes at $4.75. Outdoor fans can also help keep mosquitoes away from a porch or patio. When I was at Okinawa serving, we had fans, the kind of rotating fans that blew across you, and it was hilarious to hear the mosquitoes come in and go, and then the fan would blow on them, and they go, and they'd disappear. So fans do work. How about some CR insights? In the know, get your tiles and grout really clean. Finding cleaners that will actually remove mold, ill, and dirt from your tiles and grout isn't easy. It can be pricey, too. Some bottles cost as much as $20. I've tried cleansers that did next to nothing, says CR reporter Pang Chi-ho. Even with scrubbing, the grout stains wouldn't budge. So we set out to find products that actually work, and we uncovered a few. Our top picks, shown here, whitened grout and clean tiles with minimal scrubbing. Before you use any cleanser, though, read the label carefully. Some can't be used on stone or certain types of grout. Goo's Grout and Tile Cleaner, $8. Goo Gone, that's G-O-O Gone Grout and Tile Cleaner. This foaming spray with whitened grout and clean tiles in about 2 minutes, at half the price of many others we tried. It has a light, fresh scent. Clean-Ease Grout-Ease Tile and Grout Cleaner for $22. Grout-Ease made both the tile and grout noticeably whiter in our trials, but it's best to use just on floors because the clear wicker drips down the walls, which was messy and made cleaning more difficult. Brightens but smells like bleach. Clorox Plus Tilex Mold and Mildew Remover for $5.49. This powerful spray cleaned tile with zero scrubbing, but several staffers complained that it smelled too much of bleach, making it less pleasant to use than other options. Black Diamond, this is good for stone tile, Black Diamond Ultimate Grout Cleaner for $15. While some staffers said this cleaner cleaned their dirty grout in about 3 minutes, others were less impressed with the results. This product is labeled as being safe for use on stone tiles. Looks like Goo Gone is the winner. Not only for cost, but for effectiveness. An easy way to make top. This is ice. This is countertop intelligence. If the ice maker in your fridge can't keep up with your need for cubes over the summer months, you don't have an ice maker, you might want to try our countertop model. These plug-in appliances, which have a refillable water reservoir, could make as much as 24 to 38 pounds of the cold stuff in 1 day. Our test of 10 models found that the GE ice maker is the speediest, churning out 5 pounds of ice in 5 hours. But it's also far pricier than the others we recommend, like the Egg Lucky model. A quick tip. For the most ice, fill the ice maker with the coldest water you have. GE Profile Stainless Steel Ice Maker scored a 91 overall, but it cost $500. Vivia Home Electrical Portable Ice Maker for $130. Has a pretty good speed, fairly good capacity, not bad noise, and pretty good efficiency. A Glucky Countertop Ice Maker for $80. It has good speed, okay capacity, okay noise, and very high efficiency. Magic Chef Portable Countertop Ice Maker for $159. Has a good speed, kind of poor capacity, good noise, and good efficiency. And the Frigidaire Ice Maker at $109 has a lousy speed, lousy capacity, pretty loud, but it is efficient. Time travel. Dust. In 1930s, a severe drought creates a catastrophic dust ball in America's Great Plains. Some 7,000 people will die from inhaling that dust. In 1943, about 6 million women are now working in factories and fields, which exposes them to toxic dust. We suggest clothes that expose minimal skin, like coveralls. In 1950, we tested the brush-off handheld brush and say it's a good job of removing dust and lint from clothes, upholstery, and more. In 1960, air quality is deteriorating, CR reports, with smoke, dust, ash, and more in it. We say it's a health risk and call for control measures to reduce pollution. In 1974, a test of 54 filled vacuums, the Filter Queen is different due to its canister with no bag. We don't like that. It releases dust in the air when you empty it. In 1985, tabletop air cleaners promised a clear home of smoke, dust, and pollen. But when we test, are useless. Only a couple of those shown here are effective. And it looks like it doesn't even say what they are. 1993, a bad vacuum cleaner can make allergies worse by kicking up dust instead of trapping it. In tests, we find that upright models pick up dirt from carpet best. In 2010, we share lots of tips to reduce indoor air pollution, such as putting dust mite-proof covers on bedding and using fans in the kitchen. In 2016, allergies? CR recommends buying a vacuum that has a HEPA filter to capture more fine dust, like the Skinmore bag canister model at $300. In 2024, our latest report on the health hazard of dust include the best tools for improving air quality at home, like this air purifier, Blue Air Pure Max at $349. Three life-saving smartwatches. These functions on your smartwatch could help protect you in an emergency. Don't own a smartwatch? Nor about them may help you decide to get yourself one. It sounds the alarm when you're in trouble. Smartwatches are getting better at sensing when you need help. Newer Apple, Garmin, Google, and Samsung watches have a gyroscope and accelerometer that can detect a fall. If you do fall, the watch vibrates and sounds an alarm. If you confirm you're okay, typically within 60 seconds, it stops. Otherwise, the watch alerts emergency service or an emergency contact. Similarly, some watches detect when you've been in a car accident and call 911. If you need to attract help from others nearby, the Apple Watch Ultra can also sound a siren if you press and hold the action button. It could let loved ones know you're okay. Want to make sure a family member or friend knows you got home safely? The Google Pixel Watch 2 has a safety check feature, which you can turn on before a long drive or hike, for example. The feature sets a check-in timer that notifies your emergency contact if you don't get to your planned destination by a certain preset time. The wearer also gets a reminder before the safety check timer is up so that you confirm you're fine, but just need more time. If you don't respond, the watch will automatically alert your designated contact and share your physical location with them. It can provide quick access to important medical information. A medical ID provides information about you that may be important in an emergency, like allergies and medical conditions. For example, you can set up a medical ID in the Health app on your iPhone, so the same information is also available on your Apple Watch. That way, your watch can send your medical information directly to emergency service when you call or text 911, or someone attending you could view it on your wrist. To set up your medical ID on an iPhone, go to Settings, then select Health. And we're getting close to time out here, so let's run a couple silliness through it. Although my husband has a PhD on occasion, the English language befuddles him. Recently, I sent him off to buy our flower clematis. He arrived at the nursery, found a woman who worked there, and sent a loud, earnest voice, said, "Excuse me, but do you have chlamydia?" Sometimes I just sit and admire the gray in my husband's beard. How distinguished it's becoming, and to think, I did that. When I was warned about a kid, strangers in vans, gum taking 7 years to digest, quicksand. What I wasn't warned about as a kid was arguing with a computer that I'm not being a robot, being sad when my favorite spatula breaks, and meeting a pickleball influencer. From the corner of Maple and Maine, you'll find these oddly named byways. Yellowstone Road, Fairbanks, Alaska. Far from Poopin' Road, Story, Arkansas. Up the Road, Casco, Maine. Liquid Laughter Lane, Columbia, Maryland. Divorce Court, Pittston, Pennsylvania. No Name Road, South Londonderry, Vermont. Cue the obvious. Are people shooting at you? Take cover behind anything. Car doors, couches, tables, cardboard boxes, doesn't matter. Everything is bulletproof. Cue the obvious. Candles, who lit all those candles and who goes and puts them out? Standing under the shower head when you turn on the shower? It's way too cold. Digging graves in wooded areas? Where are roots everywhere? You can't dig a 6-foot grave without a pair of shovels in an hour. That takes time. When there's a big fight scene and all the bad guys attack the protagonists at one time while the rest just stand at the side. If you want to win, you should all attack at the same time. And so with that, we have run about out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest, The Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Colorado Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening.